Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Last night, I began my exposition by carefully defining and itemizing the spiritual factors that constitute the agenda of God for humanity. I told us God is a king and he has an agenda. And the agenda of God is to extend the frontiers of his kingdom to the earth realm. Help this brother, please. We need ushers here. Peace be still. Peace be still. Peace be still. In Jesus' name. So they are deep works of the Spirit. This is how men become mighty. The Holy Ghost enters them and builds something out of them. Glory to Jesus. Don't be distracted. Let's just have an usher there for a while. So God is on a mission of extending the frontiers of his kingdom to the earth realm. And I told us what constitutes that agenda is, number one, the nature of God. He wants his nature and his character to be the signature of everything and every operation within the context of human civilization. And so anything that is not consistent with God's nature, God does not expect it to be ferried through human transactions or the activities of human civilization. And then number two, I said God wants his wisdom to be the major force that defines what we do as we go about our daily engagements. Number three, I said God wants us to function completely and absolutely under his authority. That means we are not our own. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God, and so we stay under his authority. You know, some of you would have loved to drive at 140. Some 160. The reason you are driving at 80 is because you are under the authority of the government of Australia. You feel so bored when you drive at 60, at 80, but you are under authority. Left alone, some of you will be flying. So God wants us to function under his authority. That's his idea. And then finally, God wants us to live for his will. If you read the scriptures, all the men approved of God. These were the things that defined their lives. For instance, if you go to Genesis chapter 22 from verse 1 to 5, you will see God speaking to a man called Abraham. He's been walking with him, but he got to a point where his loyalty was to be tested. He prayed for a child. He trusted God for a child. He got a child. The child was grown up, but now God wanted to do kingdom. And so God called Abraham and told him to take his child, the one that he loved, to one of the mountains of Moriah, and there sacrifice him as an offering unto him. And the Bible said, early in the morning, Abraham rose up and took that child and saddled on an ass with two of his servants, and he went there to do that which God asked him to do. When you study that story, the first thing you will realize is that God had a will in the matter. He needed an offering. And Abraham was willing to substitute his own will and align to God's will. Even though he wanted a child so badly, he troubled God for 25 years. Now God has a will in the matter. Abraham was able to substitute his own will and align to God's will. And he surrendered Isaac. The second thing you find in that story is that Abraham demonstrated submission to God's authority. It revealed to us that although Abraham had possessions, including his child, but he was not his own. The moment God made demand, Abraham was willing to come under that government. So we saw that Abraham aligned with God's will. We saw that Abraham was under God's authority. And then in that story, we eventually saw God's wisdom. Because at the end of the day, God is not a murderer. His goal was not to kill a child. At the end of the day, we saw that what God was attempting to do was to give the revelation of how he was going to give his only begotten son as a substitutionary offering for humankind. Please be sensitive. Angelic functionaries are working. I'm staying calm so that I can manage the atmosphere. But at any point they hijack it from me, I will let go. Glory to God. So we saw that God was not a murderer. His goal was not to kill an innocent child. Because it was on that mountain that Abraham discovered one of the names of God, Jehovah Jireh or Jireh. Upon the mountain the Lord shall be seen. So it's beyond provider. That was the mountain where Abraham saw Jesus on the cross. So Jesus, speaking many centuries later, he said, Abraham, your father saw my day and rejoiced in it. And you are wondering, the Jewish people told him, you are not yet 50. How did Abraham see you? They didn't know that what God was doing centuries before was a product of divine wisdom. And because Abraham was able to carry out that sacrifice, it gave God the legitimacy, because the earth he has given to the sons of men. Anything men don't do, God can do on earth. He is the one who subjects himself to his word. And because he subjected the earth to human authority, he functions in that way. Now, because Abraham was willing to give his only son, it became legitimate for God to also give his only son as a substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of men. So what was happening on the mountain of Moriah was more than that ritual. What was happening on the mountain of Moriah was the package that God would take advantage of later to send Jesus Christ into the world to die for the sins of men. And so you discover that the way God wants to run this world through us is by his wisdom. That's why he quoted the scripture. I don't know which of them now. He said, men gather and save. But in the kingdom, the Bible said, the liberal soul shall be made fast. Him that watereth shall by himself be watered. So the wisdom of God is different from the wisdom of men. So anybody who will facilitate God's government, number one, must submit to God's authority. Number two, must choose God's will, even if it doesn't align with his own will. And number three, must walk within the context of God's wisdom. That's what God was looking for. And then, for those who will function like this, God also wants them to have his nature. Because we can bring a baboon here and teach the baboon to do a few things. It doesn't make the baboon part of our civilization. So it's not just about his will. It's not just about his authority. It's not just about his wisdom. It's also about family. So God wants those who will do this to have his DNA. That was why, before he ever told Adam to have dominion, in Genesis 1:26, he first of all gave him his nature. He said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion. He will facilitate dominion through aligning with God's will, through submitting to God's wisdom, and through submitting to God's authority. But he first of all must have God's nature. So although people like Abraham and the patriarchs of faith were able to walk with God's authority, God's will, and God's wisdom, they didn't have God's nature, because the first Adam was falling. And so in order to complete the protocol of kingdom, God had to send Jesus to bring his nature and buffet to all of us, so that every one of us now can have God's nature. So the errand of Christ was to come here, first of all, take the judgment of our sins away. Now, having taken that judgment away, include us in God's family by sharing his nature with us, so that we now are no longer strangers trying to do God's will, but we are God's children doing God's will. So the Bible said in John chapter 1 from verse 12, verse 10, it said he came into the world. Although the world was made by him, the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God. So we have been given the right. And it's not just something God declared by his sovereignty. No. The Bible said those ones that are called sons, they were born. Not by the will of the flesh or the will of man. They were born of God. So we are actually the offsprings of God. When we received Christ by faith, we were birthed in the spirit. A new spirit was put on our inside. That's why I say whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He's a new creature. We were born anew, born from heaven. And the technology of birth in the kingdom is faith. He said, whoever believeth that Christ is the Son of God is born of God. So we were born of God. Now that we are born of God, we submit to God's will, we function under God's authority, and then we live under God's wisdom. So we become agents of his kingdom. But I told you yesterday that unfortunately, it's not the whole world that's operating like that. If the whole world were to be operating like that, then the agenda in the heart of God would have been completed. But since the whole world is not operating like that, and God will not subjugate the will of any man, what God is doing is that he is saving the much he can save, so that this world that some who rejected God have mastered will be destroyed. Because God does not repair old creation. Old creation is destroyed. When the first prince over the earth rebelled, the first earth was destroyed. So if you read Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then verse 2, it said the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. What happened to the earth? The earth was judged. Because the first governor of the earth rebelled against God. And when he rebelled, the earth became an alien colony. The earth became rebellious to God. And because the earth no longer aligned to God's government, it cannot be part of God's program. And so God had to judge the first prince and then judge the earth that he ruled over. And I also told you why the earth had to be judged. Because when you come into a territory, the nature of the territory is the reflection of the nature of the inhabitants. Australia is not buildings. Australia is not the roads. Australia are the people and their culture or their ways. I told you humorously, if you move everybody from here tomorrow to maybe Asia or Africa, you will discover that the people you bring here will change what you are seeing. So the building is not the territory. It's the culture of the people that defines the territory. So this place is as Australia to the degree that the people are Australians. So anything that happens to the people must happen to the territory. So when the first prince rebelled and was judged, the first earth had to be judged. That was why darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now when God reconstructed that earth, he now put another prince called man. And this prince, God gave him his nature so that he will bring God's government. When man now fell, the earth too fell. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. I have said, ye are gods, and ye are the children of the Most High. But you will fall like one of the princes. And all the foundation of the earth is out of course. So the earth and man are falling. Now that the whole humanity does not come under God's government, God will have no choice but to separate from himself those that reject him. So at the end of time, the men that reject God, God will not force them. You know, when people go to hell, people think God is wicked. No, God is not wicked. God didn't choose hell for us. We chose hell for ourselves. Hell was created for Satan and his angels. But when you reject God, at the end of time, God won't force you to come to himself. And the only place outside God is hell. And when men are put there, the earth will be destroyed. And so now, because God can no longer convert the whole system to come under his government, What he's forced to do is to save some out of it to himself, so that eventually, when the third earth is created, he will put them there. So when we are doing the business of soul winning, we are trying to facilitate God's agenda, which is to save men from this falling world. Because I told you, this world will be destroyed. It's just a matter of time. But before the world is destroyed, God wants to save men out of it. And those we reach who accept Christ will be saved out of the earth. And when they are saved out of the earth, they will have a place in God. And when the third earth is created, they will have a place in that earth. And that which God planned to do will be done. Because the third earth, the Bible said there will be no sun there. It said Jesus will be the light. What does that mean? It means that whole system will function by God's wisdom. That whole system will be under God's authority. That whole system will have God's nature. That whole system will follow God's will. If there was a parliament in that world, if you go there, they will be talking God's will. If there was a parliament in that world, if you go there, they'll be talking God's wisdom. They won't have an agenda apart from God. You know, if you go to your parliament here, they are talking other things apart from God. If you raise Jesus there, they will drive you out. Because that the system is not about God. It's about survival. But the new earth that is coming, if there's any parliament, they will discuss only God. It's the will of God that they'll be discussing. God cannot achieve that in this world. He can't. God wants all the parliament, all the market, all the systems to be submitted to him, but he can't. Because the earth has already been given to men, and men have rebelled against God. And so because God cannot, he wants to save those who will align to him and build a new earth and bring them back in. When this rebellious one is taken away. This is why soul winning becomes so important. Because anybody who is not saved will be destroyed with this world. And you see, history repeats itself. In the days of Noah, God told Noah 100 years before the storm came to get people into the ark. Noah told them, they laughed. Theophilus looked at him and said, how much rain do you think can fall and drown the earth? They were talking about different kinds of rainfall, conventional rainfall. We know all the types of rain. There's no way rain can fall and go higher than the mountains. They didn't know that water does not only come from up. There is such a thing called the foundations of the great deep. When the time came, all the windows of the earth were open. So water was coming from the soil and coming from up and drowned the earth. When they were knocking, it was late. Jesus is that boat now. We are calling men to come into Christ. Some are laughing at us. Some are shouting. Some are singing. Some are saying we should wait. They want to do a business before they come back. The problem is that when the trumpet blasts, when we are raptured, they will now be left stranded. But you see, it will be unfair to leave them stranded. Because Jesus died to save them. That's why we can't rest. Because the Bible said, God is not willing for any man to perish. He loves humanity so much that he doesn't want one man to perish. So he wants everybody to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is why we are here. And so if we don't win souls, in addition to all the beautiful things he shared, we are making the death of Jesus useless. Because he paid the price for everybody. He bought humanity. And he told us to go tell them that they have been bought. That they have been saved. If we don't extend that message to them and they perish, it means we wasted the blood of Jesus. It means we made the death of Jesus useless. This is why it's an urgent matter that everybody will rise up in the enterprise of soul winning. Pastor Godwin gave us 7 reasons why we need to win souls yesterday. Pastor Tinashe has given us 4. So I'm not going into that. And of course, I've shown you the value of a soul yesterday. I told you a soul is important because 1, The Bible said, earth, every riches of earth can't buy one soul. He said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And he said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That means one soul is more valued than all the riches of the earth. I said, number two, a soul is important because if every soul carries God's image. Let us make man in our image. So if a soul perishes, that's the image of God. Number three, I said souls are important because souls are God's properties. He said, all souls are mine. And he has made us the managers of his estate. Because souls are his assets. So if we allow souls to perish, it means we have mismanaged God's estate. So a soul is very important to God. Number four, I say souls are eternal. And anything that has eternal value should not be trivialized. See the way we honor gold. See the way we value diamonds. They are not even eternal. But every soul is eternal. No soul will end. All of us will be here forever. So when we speak of eternity, it's about location. Some will end in hell, some will end with God. But souls are eternal. So souls are important. God does not want any soul to be destroyed because of the value of soul. This is why those of us who are saved, we must be mandated to save others. I read to you from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. It says, to wit God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, but he gave them the word of reconciliation. So the moment you are saved, you are mandated to begin to save others. And he gave us beautiful scriptures from John chapter 4 and Mark chapter 5. The woman at the well, moment she was saved, she became a soul winner. Madman of Gadara, moment he was saved, he became a soul winner. Because we were saved to save others. It's important. However, for us to be effective in saving others, we must be trained. This is why this conference is important. Because we don't just want to shout that souls are important. We want to know how to win souls. So that we embark on the mission of soul winning. And yesterday again, I took out time to give you the requirements of being an effective soul winner. I said number one is prayer. If you don't pray, you can't be effective in soul winning. Because soul winning is warfare. Men are not in sin because they want to. They are kept there by powers. He said, if our gospel be hid, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3, is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them, else they would have received the glorious gospel, which is the image of the invincible God. So the reason they are not coming to God is not just because they love pleasure. It's because there is a power holding them back. And for us to disarm those powers, we must engage in prayer. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So when people are bound in darkness, we fight their souls out. So that when we go out, they have no choice but to obey. They have no choice but to accept Jesus. They have no choice but to repent. This is why prayer is important. And I showed you dimensions of prayer that you should pray. Number one, I say pray for opportunity to be created to win souls. Especially in your context. Because where you are, you can talk to somebody and they invite the police. In Africa, we can walk up to anybody on the street and say, give your heart to Christ now. You can't do that in Australia. So you need opportunities for winning souls. Colossians 4:3, Paul said, pray for me that a door of utterance will be open. That means if prayer is not put on the table, soul winning will be difficult. Number two, I say you pray for the hearts of people to be open. Because you may have the opportunity, but the hearts may be locked. So we pray so that their hearts are open. Ephesians 6:19. The hearts are open. Number three, I say we pray so that God will give us utterance to preach. Because it's not the same message you preach to everybody. Somebody needs to hear a testimony. Another person needs to hear a theological sermon on salvation. Another person needs to just hear God loves you.
What to say at the right time must be given to you. And it will take prayer to have that level of precision in soul winning. Number four, I say we pray for the mobilization of angels. The Bible calls them the reapers. Are they not ministering spirit? Sent for to minister for them who are heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1:14. But they don't just walk until you pray. Because Matthew 26:53, he said, I will pray the Father, he will send 12 legions. So the way we unlock the ministry of angels is by praying the Father. So if you want angels to participate in soul winning, you talk to God. Number five, I say we pray for provisions to be supplied. Salvation is free, but preaching the gospel is expensive. Glory to God. Zechariah 1:17 says, cry out loud. My kingdom through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. Glory to God. Number six, I say you pray for men and laborers. We prayed for you to come here. Some of you should not have come this evening. You came back from work, you are tired, but you couldn't rest. That's because we mobilized you on the altar. Even right now, some of you are thinking you want to go, but something is telling you, don't stand up. It's prayer that is manipulating you. You came back from work, your back was aching. You say, Kai, I need to rest. As you lay down, you saw this meeting, your dream. Then get up now. Immediately, go there. You stood up, you started running here. It's prayer. And it won't stop after the conference. After this meeting, some of you can't rest again. If a taxi person carries you, you will say, do you know Jesus? If you are in a lift, you will ask, do you know Jesus? Because something would have been activated. But it's prayer that makes it happen. We mobilize workforce through prayers. It says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he may send laborers into the field. Matthew 9:37-38. And then finally, I say we pray for the outstretched arm of God. When the apostles were flogged, the Bible said they returned to their company and they lifted their voices and prayed. In Acts 4:31, it says when they were done praying, they were baptized again with the Spirit and they spoke with boldness. Verse 33, it says with great power, God bore witness to the apostles of the resurrection of Jesus. So we mobilize power for soul winning on the altar. We mobilize it. The power is locked inside here. But if you don't pray, it won't flow. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost came, like he said, he brought you power. But the Holy Ghost can be in you and be asleep. Hope you know Jesus is sleeping in the boat of many people. Until you stir the Holy Spirit. That's why I say quench not the Spirit. That means the Spirit can be quenched. You stir him. And the way you do it is by praying. He said, building up yourself upon your most holy faith. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. As you mobilize power. See, sometimes you approach some people. And when they see you, they are convicted of their sins. Just by coming close to you. And they tell you, sorry, I don't know. I'm a liar. What should I do? It's weight. You came with weight. There are some people, you look at them, you say, hello, good morning. The moment they shake you, what should I do? He said, now sit down. Let me tell you what to do. That one, they won't invite police. He said, in the days of thy power, thy people shall be willing. That's why you need it. But it takes prayer. So the first thing you do is to pray to be effective. Then number two, I say you explain the gospel clearly. In 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, Paul told us, the summary of the gospel. Christ died for your sins. He was buried and he rose for your justification. Clearly. Don't mingle words. Preach it clearly. That's why Jesus got fishermen. So that you don't need to be a professor to preach. The simplicity of the gospel must be sustained. If it will be effective. Number three, I say you must be spirit-filled. The apostles wanted to go out because they followed Jesus from one ship to another. He said, tarry until you are endued. Luke 24:49. This thing is not lingo. You may be a linguistic. It's not about English language. It's not how fluid your words are. Wait to be empowered. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Wait. Acts chapter 2 verse 1 to 4. They were filled and 3,000 was won. Acts 2:37. Acts 2:41. You must be filled. Number 4. I said you must be trained. If you are not trained, for instance, you won't know you need to preach to go and pray. You won't know you need to pray before you preach. If you are not trained, you won't know you need to keep the gospel simple. If you are not trained, you won't know you need to be spirit-filled. That's why we train people for them to be effective. The things that you have received from me. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. The same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. I'm reiterating this because some of you were not here yesterday. This is training. Catch it. It's better all of us got what we taught yesterday and start with it. And know that everybody who came was equipped. Please, open yourself up to be trained. You will be very effective. Number 5, I say you must take advantage of publicity platforms. Imagine if I came to Australia with prayer only. At best, I will talk to 3 people. Most of you are here because you saw the ads. That means prayer has its part. Strategy also has its own part. We have to put things together to publicize the meeting and publicize it in a way that you want to come. Even the color of the flyer was deliberate. You saw some very excellent graphics. You think the picture we put there, it's not deliberate. I didn't stand on that flyer with a t-shirt. No. I wore a white suit. When you see it, you want to hear what this man has to say. And in case the flyer does not work, we also send videos. And on the videos, you saw people with crutches dropping them. So even if you don't want to win souls, at least you want, in case I'll be healed. Taking advantage of publicity materials. You become effective. And this is a virtual world now. All of you have handles. That means, even if you are not on the street, you can win souls. It makes you effective in soul winning. Be effective. And then number 6, I say when you win souls, disciple them or send them to discipleship centers. You don't give birth to a child in the hospital and abandon the child. The child will die. So the Bible said in Acts 2:42, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine. In Acts 2:47, daily God added to the church such as should be saved. There is need for discipleship. And then finally, I spoke of evaluation and appraisal. Review your strategy, improve on it, and go out and become more effective. These are the basic requirements for soul winning. And as I round up in the next 10-15 minutes, I want to show you the scope of the work. Because it's not a small work, it's a big work. It's a huge responsibility. But we are humbled that God is willing to entrust us with it. Because angels probably would have done a better job. At the end of time, the Bible says 4 angels shall stand at the 4 corners of the earth. And in a moment, they will reap the whole souls out of the earth realm. So if angels were to be winning souls, 4 angels can win the whole world in one day. Why God chose to give us this assignment, only Him knows. But it's an honor. But you need to understand the scope and the enormity of the work so that you treat it with the urgency required. Because the king's business requires haste. What is the scope that God expects every one of us to win souls at? What is the scale? Number 1, Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19. This is where all of us begins from. The Bible said, Jesus returned and spake unto them and said, all power in heaven and on earth is given to me. And he now told them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The word nations there is the word ethnos. It means informal groups, like family, like friends, like associates. So Jesus expects us to win all our families, all our friends, and all our associates. That's why the scripture he read, Mark 5:19, when the madman of Gadara was cleansed, he said, "Lord, I will come with you." He said, "No, go tell your friends. Go tell your family." Ethnos. So if you are a Christian and your friends are not yet impacted, it means you are not profitable in the hands of God. So soul winning begins with informal organization. That's why every one of us can master it. Because you don't begin on a stage like this. You begin with your friends. Share the testimony. Oh, I was healed. Oh, I had an encounter. Oh, I think God is real. And before you know what's happening, they will be easily open, predisposed to receiving from you. Some persons may be listening to me now and they say, "All these pastors, I will listen until he say bring money." Nobody will say bring money here. We didn't come here to take money. We came here to raise you up. But if you are talking to your friend, he won't suspect you. Because he knows you. You are pals. He will just try to be sure if you believe in what you are saying. The moment he's sure you believe, he will follow. Did you not read your Bible? It was James that warned Peter to Jesus. When he heard Jesus, he went to Peter and said, "The Messiah we heard of, I've seen him." Peter didn't doubt for a moment. If James can believe, I can believe. See, some of you who are here, the level of drug that you gave yourself to, if you can believe Jesus, your friend will say, "I don't need to read the Bible." If you, with all the cocaine in your blood, if you can say Jesus is Lord, me too, I believe. Some of us, we literally slept in clubs. Every weekend, we are in the club, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, we go there. They say, "No, there's no club today, go home." It's the club that rejects us. Then you come back to your friend and say, "I've turned a new leaf. I've met the Lord." They will say, "What? You? If you can change, then I can change." That's why soul winning begins from ethnos. But you see, it doesn't stop at ethnos. In Matthew 24, verse 14, it says, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world." The word "world" there is the word oikomun. It means systems and empires. So God expects you, when you are done winning your friends, go to your organization. You are a doctor, then the hospital is your catchment area. You are a banker, the bank is your catchment area. You are a star, the media is your catchment area. So you begin with friends, but you take systems and organizations. This is why you need to be trained. Some of you who are living here, you are past the level of winning a friend or a brother. At your level now, it's organizations you are taking. So you go and write the name of that hospital on your prayer altar. And every morning you are prophesying, you are declaring, because the hospital must be won. And there are some of you listening to me here. It's not just hospitals. It's not just banks. Is Melbourne. Because you are big enough to take over cities. The Bible said in Acts chapter 8, verse 5 to 8, Philip went down to Samaria. He preached Christ there, and the whole city was filled with joy. Those are people who took empires, they took systems, they took organizations. And believe me, we have enough power to do that. And then it doesn't stop there. You now go to Mark 16:15. This gospel must be preached in all the world. Go preach the gospel in all the world. The word "world" there is the word cosmos, the whole earth. So a point comes where the earth is your catchment area. So you come to Australia, you finish, you go to China. You finish from China, you go to Fiji Island. You finish from Fiji Island. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Capacity enlargement. That's why in this meeting, see, some of you have already received impartation. You will receive again. Because it's capacity, capacity. In the last 4 weeks, I was in four nations. I left England, I went to Ghana, I left Ghana. I went to Saudi. What's the name now? Dubai. Dubai is in United Arab Emirates. I'm in Australia. I'm still going to other nations. I passed the level of I'm in a school. There's revival. No, we are not talking school revival anymore. We are talking national revivals. Do you understand? We are talking territorial revivals. That's why we are breaking forth on every side. On the media, if you see the nation where some of us come from. If you are on any platform, if you scroll for 5 minutes, you will see me. It's littered everywhere. On TikTok, on Facebook, on YouTube, on every app is there. There are more than 70 bloggers that are spreading the message. I didn't contract them. I'm not paying them any money. But something has risen in me that makes them to become partners. It's called the influence of the Holy Ghost. Had thy horn have I exalted as the horn of the unicorn. Do you understand what I'm saying? So some of you will take Melbourne. Some of you will take Australia. And some of you will graduate from Australia. You will take this whole region. From Australia to New Zealand, to Solomon's Island, to Papua Guinea, to Fiji. You will take everywhere, to Samoa, everywhere that human beings are living. And then when you finish with this region, you will face Africa. You say, they came to us, now we are going to them. And then you go to the Americas. This is what God wants. You need to enlarge. Forget, you are bigger than that bank. Don't plant yourself in that bank for 35 years for salary. There's something about you bigger than the bank. And then when you take the word, you go to the fourth level, which is generations. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says Jesus was delivered to die to save us from this present evil age. That is aeon. So there's a level where your impact becomes transgenerational. That's why Isaiah 60:15 said, you shall be the joy of many generations. That means you have won souls until you leave legacies behind that will keep winning souls for many generations after you. That's what God wants to do with you. Can I tell you something? Your life does not end the day you leave this world. No. Even if you live for 70, even if you live for 80, you are older than that. Can I assure you, some of you will live for 1,000 years. Because even after 1,000 years, your impact will remain. Do you think it's a building that will make that happen? There's no house you will build that will be relevant for more than 1,000 years. You think it's a business that will do that? No, it's the legacy of soul winning. As you win, they win. As you leave materials behind, they are left behind. So for aeons, the people you want will win others. Those will win others. Do you know some of us are walking based on the people that Paul, Peter, won to Jesus? A building can't live like that. So God expects us to be this big. And this is why we came, to invite you into something that is eternal. And from this conference, somebody's life will become more relevant than everybody that has lived in your lineage. Because from now on, something eternal, an eternal dynasty is opening for you. This is why God empowers us for soul winning. We are empowered. We are empowered. We are empowered. And quickly, let me give you two forms of empowerment. Number one is revelation. These things I'm telling you, you need to know them. I used to think, oh, my life was about getting a job that could, you know, meet my daily needs. Until God began to open my eyes that I was bigger than a job. First, I was going to give job to people, but over and above that, I was going to give life and meaning to many generations. See, revelation will open you up. He was sharing a moment ago. He said, your life cannot be bigger than the revelation of God in your spirit. You must, see, your illumination must happen to you. You know the way Paul puts it? He said in Ephesians 1:17, he said, for this cause I pray that the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of your calling, that you may know the exceeding riches of the glory of the saints of God, that you may know the exceeding greatness of his power. So there are things available to you, but you can't know until revelation comes. There is an exceeding greatness of God's power in you, but it will take revelation to activate it. There's an exceeding greatness, and it's not just any power. He said it was the same power that was wrought when Jesus was raised from the dead. So every one of us seated here, we have resurrection power inside us. But the reason we are not yet seeing that power is because there's not yet revelation. So one way God will empower you is to open your eyes. And if I may tonight, two aspects of empowerment that is a must is number one, a revelation of your absolute deliverance. Please hear me. You are no more in bondage. Because you can't give life to people if you are in bondage. You can't bring deliverance to people if you are not delivered. You are not in bondage. I know circumstances may be suggesting it. I know demons may be whispering it. I know even wrong teachers may have forced it on you. But you must wake up today and tell yourself, there is no power that can keep me in bondage. Because when you read the Bible, one of the things you will discover is that you have been absolutely set free. Can I show you scriptures in a moment? Number one, you have been delivered from death. In Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14, the Bible said, for as much then as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, it said himself likewise took part of the same, that he might deliver them who for a lifetime were subject to fear by death. And how did he do that? By destroying the one that has power over death. For us believers, when our time is over, we don't die. We translate to glory. But if we have not finished our course, nothing can kill us. Jesus said, if you drink any deadly thing, it can't hurt you. Don't you know? He said, life and immortality have been brought to light through the gospel. Nothing can kill you. Don't live in fear. Even those who didn't have the Holy Ghost knew better. The psalmist said, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I fear no evil. The psalmist is the one talking like this. Is it you that is born of God? Is it you that has Christ in you, the hope of glory, that will be afraid of the shadow of death? The reason we fear is because revelation has not come. Those days, prophets will come and advise me, what God wants to do in your life. Don't go to your village. They want to kill you. Me? Who is that that want to kill me? How will they do it? If I didn't know, I would have been afraid. And my fear would have opened the door for Satan. Because the way Satan works is to intimidate you. So that fear will cripple your faith. And when your faith is crippled, it enters. Understand this. Death can no longer hold you captive. The moment Jesus rose from the dead, he brought you deliverance. In John 11, 25 and 26, he said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He said, him that believeth in me shall never die. And he said, even if he were dead, he shall live again. That's not a man talking. That's the Most High talking. Death cannot tame you anymore. Number two, he delivered you from the power of Satan. Please believe what I share with you tonight. No demon has the power to torment you. The reason they can torment you is either because of your ignorance or because you gave allowance. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said in Colossians chapter 1 from verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has delivered us. Giving thanks to the Father who has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 12, and has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his Son. He didn't say he will deliver us. He said he has delivered us. That means we only go into bondage if we permit it. He has delivered us. You have been delivered from the power of darkness. And he didn't just deliver you. After delivering you, he shut down Satan. Because Colossians 2:14 said, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He didn't hide it. All the demons know that you have been delivered. All the demons know that they have been overpowered. They come to you to check whether you know. The next time Satan comes, tell him, Satan, I know I've been delivered. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me. I know. Don't feel pain on your head and say, what's going on? Satan wants to kill me. No, he cannot. Don't tell him he can. You were delivered. He was disarmed. If God stopped there, it would have been beautiful. But he didn't stop there. You know what Jesus did? After delivering you, he went ahead and disarmed Satan. After disarming Satan, he now carried the power and brought back to you. So the captive had become the captor. And the Bible said in Mark 16:17, in my name, cast out devils. In my name, cast out devils. So the one that was tormenting me, I am not the one tormenting him. The one that held me captive, I'm not the one holding him captive. In my name, in my name. So when I say Jesus, every Satan know power has changed hands. Power has changed hands. Power has changed hands. I am empowered over Satan. Hey! Hey! Help the sister. Hey! Marakapatakapoa. This is the audacity of the saints. This is the audacity of the believer. I'm not afraid of Satan. They can come from the air. They can come from the water. They can come from the desert. All I need is to say, in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout glory! Please, hear this. When you go out to win souls, sometimes you are talking to people and demons want to interfere. You don't even need to shout to create panic. Just look at the person in the eyes. You know, we cast out demons even with our thoughts, not just words. Because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. Above all you ask or think. According to the power at work on your inside. So, don't start saying, Satan, out, out. The person may be confused and say, what are you doing? Just look at the person. Look at me. Look at me. As you are looking, you are communing. Mandakira. Parota, 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 parota. Hey! Hey! You are empowered. That's why he sent you out. Did you read? He said he sent us as doves among wolves. Why would he do that? Because the power of the wolf has been taken. It's now with the dove. So we may come gentle. Don't dare us. If you dare, you will see something. And every devil knows. You are empowered. Don't be afraid of Satan. He can't do nothing. He can't do anything to you. Unless you allow him. And from this conference, somebody will begin to say no to Satan. I don't know if you are thinking like me. I can already imagine somebody who is saying, ah, if I have authority over Satan, why is my auntie still sick? I'm also asking the question with you. Why is my father still sick? Why is my brother still sick? I'm also asking the same question. So what will you do after this meeting? The moment you step out, you carry your phone and call them. Hey, you devil! I end your oppression. I end your tyranny. I stop you. Leave him. Leave him. Leave her. Leave her. In the name of Jesus Christ. You have been delivered. Understand that. And have liberty. Because when you go out, they will check whether you know. We know. We know. In fact, sometimes when I enter some territories, I begin my message by testing the waters. I look around and I talk to demons. I take authority over you. You get out of here in the next 1 second. And as I'm talking, people are manifesting. People are manifesting. I say, okay, they understand that a prince has come. They understand. Because you need to know, and you need to let them know that you know. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be an apostle. All you have to be is to be born again. Ready to win souls. And when you come, you give Lord. I enjoy it. Sometimes when I go out and I'm preaching, I will now stand and say, I write a new commandment in the spirit. That means even when I go, they can't come back. I write a new law. And they will obey it. We are out of time. Lift your hands. You are empowered. You are not a victim. No. You are the answer of this world. Go out there with audacity. See the Holy Ghost back you up. He said they looked up to him. Their faces were radiant. They were not ashamed. You are empowered. I wish I had time to show you what he gave you. Because in deliverance, he took you out of Satan. But he didn't stop there. He also gave you something. I wish I had time to tell you the impact of the life he gave you. He literally gave you his own life. The life that sustains him. It's the life of God that sustains you. So you are in the God class. I wish you knew this. Now, ask yourself a question. Why didn't dogs come for this meeting? Why didn't goats come? When we advertised the meeting, we didn't say for humans. We just advertised it. But you see, these animals don't have the life to support this experience. So even if we say cows come, goats come, they can't come. Because they are not in our class. You have to have our life to understand our communication. And to fellowship in our realm. When he gave you his life, he brought you to the God class. That's why you are now called the Son of God. In 2 Peter 1 verse 4, he says you are a participator of the God kind. And can I shock you? The God kind can be demonized. The God kind cannot be sick. The God kind cannot be defeated. The God kind cannot be oppressed. So he brought you to a realm superior to oppression. A realm superior to sickness. A realm superior to frustration. That's what he did. He gave you his name. He gave you his righteousness. He gave you his anointing. What empowers him, he put it on you. Do you know, outside Jesus we are naked? The faith I have is not mine. The Bible calls it the faith of the Son of God. That means anything Jesus did by faith, I can do. The anointing I have is not mine. It's the anointing of Jesus Christ. That means anything Jesus did, I can do. The life I have is not mine. It's the life of the Son of God. That means anything Jesus walked in, I can walk in. Do you get this? The righteousness I have is not mine. It's the righteousness of Jesus. That means any level of reigning. Because righteousness makes you to reign. It means I can reign there. That's why Jesus summarized it up in John 14:12. He said, the work that I do, he said, you will do also. And he didn't stop there. He said, and greater works, because I go to the Father. That means you have backup. Do you see why it will be a taboo for Melbourne to remain in darkness when you are here? Imagine if Jesus was walking the streets of Melbourne. Will there be darkness? No, he will shut it down. But Jesus does not have to come here anymore. Because everything he carried that made him him, apart from the fact that he was part of the Godhead, you have it. You have his name. You have his life. You have his anointing. You have his righteousness. You have his power. What else do you need? Lift your right hand and begin to pray. And begin to prophesy. We take over the city. We take over the nation. We take over the city. We take over the nation. Ah, hey, 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 ah, 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 are three activations and impartations that the Holy Ghost sent me to carry out here tonight. Number one is the awakening of the spirit of revival. Please hear me. God wants to raise men that can take territories, men that can take nations. And remember, I told you yesterday, if you are taking nations, it means the wealth of the nation is no longer a prayer point. It means health is no longer a prayer point. Because you need to have all of those things to take those nations. There is an anointing that is about to come on seven of you here. For territory taking, for nation taking, is the spirit of revival. This is not an emotional thing. It's a spirit thing. Because it's not your mind, it's not your emotion. It's your spirit that contacts it. And I was sent here to awaken you. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, according to your word, according to your spirit, you said there are men and women here tonight that you are awakening into the order, the spirit of revival, the operations of revival, that they might gain capacity to take territories, to take nations. Now, wherever they are standing, I decree and declare, let that impartation begin now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 10. Caro paretonaya.
We need sons of consolation. Barnabas.
Barnabas was a son of consolation. He can come through favor. He can come through wisdom. He can come through connection. He can come through productivity. But it's the Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, now, take that grace. Touch. Usher, help them. I release that grace. Karota, Parota, Paragabanos, Pelegavarotia, Taka, Paragano, Sabela, Vela Tausa. You ancient Zionski, Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You run. Never be the same again. I come to you as a messenger, a carrier of the burdens, the revelation, and the powers of the kingdom. And so I decree and declare, step into new realms, step into new dimensions, come into your ordination in the kingdom. He said, and the house kept growing by the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. When we prophesy, we build men. When we make declarations, we build men. And so in the name of Jesus, the counsel of God for your life is established tonight. I say it is established tonight. In the name of Jesus. Lift your right hand. Finally, is the grace for leadership. We are the ones that will lead this world. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are the head, not the tail. It's our ordination to lead. I decree and declare, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, spiritual leadership, economic leadership, governmental leadership, academic leadership, every sphere of human civilization where leadership is required, wherever you are standing, as it was upon Daniel, I decree, receive that grace now. You are mighty on your throne. 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 Nations need leadership. Governments need leadership. Different spheres of human civilization, there is a gap of leadership. Tonight the Lord fills that gap. The Lord fills that gap. The oil, the grace, the mantle, the spirit of leadership, it comes upon you now. Let him come. The Lord is not true with you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Fresh. Thank you, Father. Go, take nation. You are mighty on your throne. You are mighty on your throne. You are mighty on your throne. As I round up, wherever your body is hurting, this is your time to receive your healing. God will be healing the sick and anointing men to carry out the ministry of healing. Place your hand on your chest. You need a healing. A pain, a tumor, an organ failure. This is your time. I just need you to agree with me. When I decree the name of Jesus, you agree with me by thundering amen. We must be one in the spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No, what's the challenge? So let me pray for the congregation. Just let him sit here. Receive now, for now. Lift your hands and receive. You can put your hand on your chest or you lift it up. Whichever works for you, it's fine. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I've not heard your amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, you devil of infirmity, you know you have been disarmed. Heifer, heifer. You demon of torment, devils of torment, help them. Devils of infirmity, you know you were defeated. I take authority over every spirit of infirmity here, holding God's children bound. I command you, come out of their bodies in the name of Jesus. I speak to the chains of infirmity. Every chain of sickness, every power of infirmity, eye conditions, ear conditions, tumors, blood conditions, organ infections, whatever you are called, the name of Jesus is higher than you. I decree and declare, be bound now. In the name of Jesus, tumors be materialized now. Eyes begin to see. Ears begin to hear. Arthritis be gone. Bone conditions be healed. I speak to your livers. I speak to your heart. I speak to your kidneys. I speak to your pancreas. I speak to your skin. Every organ that is sick, be healed now in the name of Jesus. I take authority over sickness. I command you, be gone in the name of Jesus. Now I release life. I release healing. I release vitality. I release strength. Let that eye begin to see. Let that ear begin to hear. Let the muscles, the tendons, the bones receive strength. Let the tumors go. Be perfected now. Your pulmonary system is free. Now you can breathe. Let the heart palpitation stop. The heart is healed. In the name of Jesus. The liver is healed. The kidney is healed. In the name of Jesus. Somebody shout. 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 Hey, yeah, yeah.
Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah,
yeah,
hey,
yeah,
yeah, hey, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah, hey.
Now, in the next 30 seconds, do what you couldn't do. Be very radical. Don't exercise any restraint. If you couldn't walk, jump up and begin to walk. Begin to run. Do what you couldn't do. You have pains on your back, bent. Tumors are living people. Do what you couldn't do, radically. Come on, come on, come on. Exercise your faith and receive. Receive, receive, receive.
Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah,
do what you couldn't do, do what you couldn't. Hey, yeah, hey, yeah,
hey, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah,
hey, yeah,
hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah.
Tell you something, the Holy Ghost is so excited. Please hear me. I just heard a whisper. You know, when people are healed, usually before we take testimonies, the Holy Ghost begins to whisper. How many of you were in Sydney? He will just speak it out. I just heard somebody towards the back there, you're having blood pressure condition. The Holy Ghost just whispered to me at the back. He said, oh, that person has been healed. Where is the person? Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey,
hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey, hey.
The Holy Ghost was very specific about him. How old is this brother?
12 years.
When did 12-year-olds begin to have high blood pressure? You see, these are demons. You live forever. Jesus' name. Breathe in and breathe out. How do you feel? Do we have a machine? Oh dear. Oh my goodness. We need medical team. Let's start. When we come back for evangelical conference, make sure we have medical team. We need to verify these things. Oh my. I was in Kenya. A woman was healed. Her blood sugar level went down. And she brought her machine and checked. In the morning it was about 15, right? And then in the evening, after the prayer, went to 4.3. I like it when we verify. Glory to Jesus. Now check your body. You discover you've been healed. I don't know, this person is towards my right. I think you are having a pain at the lower part of your abdomen. I don't know if that's a hernia pain. The Lord is telling me somebody towards my right. I think there's a pain has just left. Who is that person? Where is the person? Come on, let's check that pain. God is I think it's a hernia related condition. The Lord has healed you. And you are just looking like that. Come on!
Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey.
Time, I'm rounding up. If you have noticed a touch, The Lord touched you. You have noticed something. Can I see your hand? Can I see your hand? What's going on here? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You have noticed a touch. Let me see that hand one more time. Lift. Come on, man. What's going on? So Satan was stopping you from winning souls. Now you have become unstoppable. I say you have become unstoppable. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout.
We're out of time.
Now, let's see that hand one more time, just to make mockery of Satan. Can you look behind you? See the hands that have been touched and healed. Shout! That means we can't take the testimony. Because over 50% have been touched. So what do? Say, thank you, Jesus! Now, we're expecting that everybody here is a soul winner. But you can't be a soul winner if you are not one. Is there anybody here who has not formally declared Jesus to be his Lord or her Lord? Is there anybody like that? Let's be sure we are not leaving anything to chance. You have not called Jesus your Lord? Lift your hand if you want. You've not done that before. I just want to be sure that everybody is saved, because we are commissioning you to go win souls. Glory to God. Everybody is saved. Give the Lord a big hand. Now, as you return, I beg you, put it to work. Some of you, giftings have been activated. When you get to the field, you'll see it. Some of you, new dimensions have opened up. But if you don't go out, you won't see it. So, go over the messages again. Write, make notes from the things you've heard, and begin to practice them. And you'll see yourself walking in the fullness of all of them. Glory to Jesus. Sit down for 3 minutes, and then we are out of here. Glory to Jesus. The Lord sent us to Australia, and we have come. We are not passing through. We have come. Glory to God. We were in Sydney for 3 days. We are just rounding up today for 2 nights, and we'll be in Perth tomorrow for a Holy Ghost service. Give the Lord a big hand. Now, we are an apostolic expression. Our job is to recruit people, set them on fire, and release them. Our goal is not to gather crowds, is to raise people and launch them into their destiny. And so God has given us a mandate to go from nation to nation, first to get people to experience God, and then to raise them up as sons, as kings, and as priests. So we raise people who operate in these three orders. And we have come to Australia to raise that tribe. We began in Sydney. Over several hundreds of people have registered to be trained. And I'm going to be training them virtually for 2 months. And then we are going to plant an apostolic center there, where people will come from everywhere, pray, they are set on fire, we impart them, and we launch them to go fulfill destiny. Glory to God. I love that excitement. And then here in the city of Melbourne, we already started something at the background, but we have come to fortify and to strengthen it. So every Sunday evening from 5 p.m., 4 p.m., we'll meet in Melbourne to strengthen and to fortify people to go give expression to their callings and ordination. And that is already operational here in Melbourne. So I want to invite you. But first, before you identify with us, I'm going to set up a training program for about 2 weeks to train you on certain basics in Christian foundation, so that you are equipped to become a witness of Jesus.
And then every Sunday evening, when you are arrested, find your way to the prayer altar where you are set on fire for the work of the kingdom. Let's receive Delacroix, who is our coordinator in Melbourne. How many of you listen to him? This is an explosive device. So he's going to tell you the venue, and then from this Sunday, they'll be converging. But we'll also give you the link for the training program. I'll be doing the discipleship program myself. I'll train for 2 weeks virtually, and then you continue praying at the venue he will share with you every Sunday, 5 p.m. What's the venue? 4 p.m. Why am I saying 5? Are you sure? Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Let me assume.
Blessings. So every Sunday we gather in Point Cook at Unit 705 1 Main Street. That's at the Music Valley, upstairs, level 1. Yes. So Sunday, 4 p.m. Thank you.
Kneel down, let's pray for you. Let's impart grace and empowerment. Father, in the name of Jesus, such as I have, I give him, so that he will walk in the same measure of grace and power, wisdom and authority. I put that grace upon you now as a seal. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, receive that measure. Jesus' name. Never be the same again. Glory to God. Give the Lord a big hand. Help him. Just help him. Help him. It's not by power. It's not by might. You are still shaking, oh God. I know you are a strong man. What came on you is the spirit. It's a spirit. It's older than your grandfather. What came on you is called Ancient of Days. You can't fight it. It's a spirit. So tomorrow we'll be in Perth for the Holy Ghost service. We invite you to join us in prayer, and then we'll be streaming online. You can also connect. Thank you. God bless you. And so as we round up, I'll bring up Pastor Godwin to give us the final announcement. I love you so much. And I want you to know that we are coming back to Melbourne for a massive evangelical campaign. Yeah. If you want to be part of that meeting, he's going to give you a paper or something. You put your details, so when the time comes, we notify you. And if you also want to be part of the discipleship program, they'll give you a paper at the end of the service, and then we'll give you, send you the links so that you join, train you for 2 weeks, just to complete what we couldn't do here, and send you out to represent Jesus. I'll see you again next year as we come for the conference. God bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.